Welcome to LOA Today. I'm Walt Thiessen here with Alex King and Bill G. Today is Tuesday, May the 21st, 2019. It's 8 a.m. in New York, 5 a.m. in Los Angeles, 1 p.m. in London, and 10 p.m. in Sydney, Australia. And wherever you are in the world, thank you for joining us for another episode of LOA Today, your daily dose of happy. And I want to get started today with a little housekeeping because one of our good listeners, one of our regular listeners, contacted me saying, I can't find the live stream. And Well, we want people to be able to find the live stream. So understandable. I mean, we move things around. Now we're live streaming to YouTube. So it's understandable that people would lose that. But fortunately, we are making it as simple as possible for you to find it. So I just wanted to give people a quick tutorial on how to find us. First and foremost, and I actually forgot to tell this to the person I was communicating with when I first communicated. I had to send her a separate note afterward, but we have right in the description where you're listening to this podcast, we have links, and one of the links is to the YouTube live stream page. So that's actually your easiest way to get there. Just look for, I think it's the fourth link, because we have a link for people to subscribe by iPhone, another one for subscribing by an Android phone, a third one for the YouTube, and a fourth one for the Zoom platform for people who want to come onto the show and talk to us while we're recording. So that YouTube link, that's the one that you want to click on in the description or copy and paste if you have to, depending on your device, in order to listen to the live stream and participate in the comment section and so forth. And we'd love to have you do that. Now, if you, for whatever reason, can't seem to get that link working or you can't find the description on your podcast app or whatever, well, there are other alternatives because when we do shows now, we have it set up so that posts go onto the major social media websites. So you can be notified whatever your favorite way is. So we have a tweet that goes out. You can check on Twitter. We have an Instagram post that goes out. So you can look on Instagram. You can find us there. We post to the Facebook page for LOA Today. So that's the third place you can go to. There's also our YouTube page. And also on Facebook, we post to the Law of Attraction Changed My Life group. So you have five different ways on social media to find the live link to the live stream. So hopefully between the link in the description for each of the more recent podcasts and all those five places, somewhere in there, hopefully, Alex, they're going to find a way to get at least that's my hope. What do you think? Have I given them enough ways to get there?
I think you have.
I think so. Okay, good. So the expert YouTube and social media expert has pronounced her A-OK on finding how to get to the live stream.
But you forgot to say how to continue watching us.
Well, why don't you
tell you found us. Well, once you found us on YouTube under Law of Attraction, no, it's LOA Today podcast videos. And you hit the subscribe button. There's a bell next to the subscribe button. If you click that bell, it'll notify you every time that we're live.
And that's nice. That's a really great feature. Mm-hmm. So, and I'm glad I didn't even know about that one. I don't think a lot of people know about that one, but
no.
You explained how it worked. And I said, well, darn. And the real confusing thing, you only see the bell if you're using like an iPhone or an Android smartphone.
Right.
You don't see it on a desktop or a laptop.
Well, because the notifications don't really, I mean, are you going to see a notification in your desktop?
Well, you could. I mean, I'd turn them off, but.
Right. But most notifications go to your phone in the little pop-up screen on the top of your phone. So that's what it's for.
Mm-hmm. Yep. But it's also confusing the first time when you say, well, what bell? I don't see a bell.
Yeah, so if you're on your device, you will see a bell.
Yes, so on smartphones only for the bells.
Right.
Smartphones, that should ring a bell, right? Smartphone bell? No, so forget that.
That was a force, sir.
It was. But I can tell you what was not a force. And this is actually a case of the forces with us.
Okay.
I mentioned to you this to you by text message, but I wanted to tell everybody else. We're promoting, of course, the fact that we are now casting for The Grass is Greener, our new audio play. Mm-hmm. And we've been putting stuff on Facebook and on Craigslist and other places like that. And then I found the website for Backstage Magazine, which, as you know, is the magazine of the theatrical community.
Yep.
And so last night I posted an ad there and woke up this morning and found 86 replies and counting. And actually, as I check it right now, we have over 100 replies. So I think we hit gold.
Yeah, I think so.
Which is a good thing. And I see Bill's smiling face there. Of course, Bill was also mentioning that, yeah, that's really what happens. So you get a lot of hungry actors who are looking for work. And
yep.
I'm glad to say that Bill is not a hungry actor. He's simply an SRT consultant.
I used to be a hungry actor.
You were a hungry actor.
I was a hungry actor. When I was a teenager, I was I have an identical twin brother, and we were both, we were doing the twin thing.
Mm-hmm.
And we went to, cattle calls in New York City for commercials and all the sorts of stuff. And yeah, you're willing to do all kinds of work when you're a struggling actor. So,
mm-hmm.
gonna be good. And I'm so excited for you guys. And I asked my son if he wanted to audition, and he's like, nah. It's like, okay.
That's when it cut into his gaming time.
Yeah. Actually, he just got himself a Twitch channel.
Oh, no kidding.
What's a Twitch channel?
He has his own Twitch channel.
You gotta tell people what Twitch is, because a lot of people don't know what Twitch is.
Yeah, I don't know what that is.
Twitch is a live streaming channel primarily for gamers, video gamers, and he's today going to be doing his first live stream, just playing the new version of Minecraft.
Nice.
So
it's amazing to me. I mean, when Bill told me about this, Alex, I had to go see for myself. You can actually find this on YouTube. There are people. Who will play video games, recording the fact that they're playing the video game while they do their chat back and forth, and have hundreds of thousands of people following them while they do this.
That's how these 12-year-olds are making hundreds of thousands of dollars.
I mean, this is insane.
Yeah. It's a whole phenomenon. It's a whole thing.
I never really would have thought that, but hey, you know, it's a new era.
Because if you think about it, if you're really into a game and you're stuck on one part and you can go on YouTube and watch this person go through that part, and you're like, oh, thanks. You know, it's helpful.
I see that. Yeah. I kind of harken back to, you know, the early 1980s when most people didn't even know what a PC was. I was one of the first early users, and, you know, there were no YouTube channels.
Mm-hmm.
There was no place to go for help. I mean, if you were lucky, there was a computer users group housed by geeks that might be willing to condescend to explain to you some of this really basic stuff from their point of view that you didn't understand any of.
Yeah.
And so you just kind of, you learn through your fingertips. You just tried this and you tried that. Now you go to Google and it just gives you an answer in 30 seconds of what it is that you're trying to get an answer to. So it's a different world. That's all.
The number one YouTuber on YouTube right now is PewDiePie. And he has over 300 million subscribers.
Yep.
And what does he do? Just short little videos, playing video games.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, he does some charity work too, but for the most part, it's just him playing, you know, Fortnite and, you know, these very popular video games. And that's it. I mean, that's what he does.
Yep.
And I've also heard that it's possible for somebody to build up a huge followership and then they do one thing wrong and they lose half their followers.
Oh, yeah.
It depends on what that wrong thing is. And actually, the kiss of death is talking politics.
Well, that's always been true. I mean, Linus Van Pelt from Peanuts taught us that. There are three topics you always stay away from: religion, politics, and the Great Pumpkin.
Right.
That piece of wisdom has carried on throughout the ages. So.
If they come off as being racist or sexist, that will also be the kiss of death on this fat platform.
That makes sense. Yeah. So.
But I mean, potty mouth, absolutely no fair game.
A bunch of rating censors in Hollywood are just absolutely in tears today.
Yeah. They're like, we're out of jobs because of YouTube. But yeah, there was, oh my God, I can't remember his name. His brother's name is Jake Paul. And, him and his brother, they're both like major YouTubers, but he decided to, stop Rusty. He decided to take a trip to Japan. And go to the suicide woods and totally made this rude video about suicide. He was showing dead bodies. It was in, and people were not having it. They were like, suicide is not a joke, and he lost everything in a matter of 12, 24 hours.
Wow.
It was insane. Yeah. And I was one of the people following him, and I was like, okay, I'll follow him because he's cute. He's also funny, and he's, you know, he does some stuff on YouTube separately. Like, he does, like, crazy things. So I was like, all right, he's entertaining. I'll follow him. But after that, nope. I stopped following his brother, too, just for association purposes.
Ooh. Yeah. That's rough. That's rough, because the brother didn't have anything to do with it, and here he is suffering the penalty. Ooh.
Yeah, but he's just as big of a jackass. Like, it was fun at first, because their whole YouTubing was about pranking each other.
Uh-huh.
But then it just got out of hand. It's insane.
Yeah, I was having a conversation with my son about this last night, because he also followed this other guy who liked to troll other people on different games, and he would film it, and he would stream it and whatever. Yeah. And for a while, he was like, "Okay, this is entertaining," but then the YouTuber just got mean, and so he would do things just out of spite, or he would just he was basically filming his cyberbullying.
Yeah.
Oh wow.
And,
yeah.
And so it was like. He was like, it stopped being entertaining, so I stopped, it canceled my subscription and whatever, and,
Well, there's a law of attraction lesson in all of that, because they focused first on what they liked, and other people who liked it came along, and then they decided to focus on stuff they were pissed off about and that they didn't like, and people went away.
Right. Yeah.
And what was left was probably some dregs of the world that you wouldn't want to invite to a cocktail party. So,
right.
they attracted exactly what they put out there. Which is,
talk about it.
People complain things don't come quickly enough. Well, that stuff came probably quicker than they had in mind.
Mm-hmm.
Right. YouTube is a great forum for exploring law of attraction in that way, because you look at who the most popular YouTubers are out there and watch some of their videos, and you're like, wow, okay, they got good messaging, they got good, they've got a good personality, and they're good people. You can tell,
yeah.
Right? I mean, because especially when somebody is streaming, you get to see the uncensored them.
Yes.
You're not getting a whole lot of, when you watch TV, you get something that's been produced, and you got outtakes and whatever,
and
all that's taken out. So all you're looking at is a polished product. But when you're looking at a stream and you get to see them interacting with their friends and whatever, it becomes a very personal experience. And if they're nice people and they are doing something that you like, and that's great. I mean, the stream that I always like to watch is, my Critical Role people for D&D. And they have built such an incredible community. This last month they did a Kickstarter campaign, and they broke the record for Kickstarter they wanted to make an animated TV series about their first D&D campaign. Because they're all voice actors.
Mm-hmm.
And so they wanted to voice it, so they got animators and whatever, and they needed to raise $750,000 to do their first episode. And so they did a Kickstarter. And so it was a one-month Kickstarter, and they raised $11.3 million.
Oh, is that all?
And so the previous record holder was Mystery Science Theater 3000, did a Kickstarter.
Yes.
They smashed that record.
Wow.
And so now are they not only doing one half-hour special, they're doing an entire season of episodes for their thing, which will air sometime in the fall of 2020. So they got a whole season out of it, and it's because this group has such a loyal following, because, again, they are – not just great Dungeons & Dragons players, because that's fine. There are a lot of streams out there that do that. But they are such good people that they say, hey, we're doing this thing for charity. you just like, oh, okay, here's my money, because people are such wonderful people, and when they're raising money for, they got their own studios and they do their own, they do multiple stuff, and the money just keeps pouring in for them.
Mm-hmm.
And the love keeps pouring in because that's what they put out. They put out love, they get love in return.
Mm-hmm.
Here's Alex and me having put together this episode for $89.36. I mean, I feel like we're outclassed.
Y'all gotta start somewhere.
You have to start somewhere.
Started from the bottom, now we're here.
That's right.
Hey, I wanted to take a moment before we get started talking about how to apply SRT in your personal life and how to, you know, really use it to become a deliberate creator, a conscious creator. But I want to remind people about subscribing to the podcast. I'm trying to make this part of the early part of the podcast from now on. And it's really simple for those of you who haven't done it. Many of you have, otherwise you wouldn't be listening to this. But if this is new to you and you haven't heard this before, please become a subscriber. You'll find links in the description for the podcast. But if you can't find that, just go to the homepage of our website at loatoday.net. And right there, you'll see at the top of the page, it will detect what kind of device you have and give you instructions on how to subscribe. In most cases, it's just click and follow a wizard through and you're done. And then once you're a subscriber, of course, you get everything coming right to your device as we produce them and as we publish them. So please become a subscriber and then share the fact that you're listening to one of our episodes, share the fact with people on social media, with friends and family and so forth, so that they can get their daily doses of happy. And finally, make sure that you subscribe, among other places, to the YouTube channel. And Alex, I know you described this at the beginning of the show, but I'm going to have you go through it one more time. So describe the subscribe and notification system on YouTube, because
okay,
some people have to know about it. It's not something that's obvious to you.
Well, as we previously discussed, if you are on your smartphone device, you can go to LOA Today podcast, no, yes, LOA Today podcast videos, and you can click the subscribe button. And once you've done that, you can go to the right and click that little tiny bell. And once you click that bell, you will be notified every time that we are live. And once you do that, tell a friend to tell a friend.
And there we go. It's beautiful. Well done. You do it so much. You should do the intros and the promos for us each show. You do so much better than I do.
Give me the intros and I will do them.
Okay. All right. That sounds good. So, Bill, we are back to discussing applying, being an SRT pendulum expert, swinging our pendulums around and learning how to improve our lives. We started that last week.
Yeah.
But where were we up to this week?
Well, I think what we're talking about, and I'll reiterate some of the things we said last week, in that it's very important that whenever you're learning a new healing modality for your own self-help, is that you read about it and understand it as best as you possibly can before you really start to dive into the deep stuff. And the reason for that is think of it as a healing technology. And just like when you buy a new computer and you need to understand a new operating system, you need to really maybe go through some tutorials, maybe mm-hmm. read the instruction manual, know what you're doing before, learning how to program it. Mm-hmm. Otherwise you could get yourself into trouble. And what you get yourself into trouble with this kind of work is, asking questions from a position of ego and not quite understanding what the questions you're asking, and you end up manifesting the wrong things or asking mm-hmm. the wrong questions that run you down rabbit holes that you didn't want to go in the first place. Because mm-hmm. You know, I've had clients in the past, and I caution this with other people, that if you have a strong belief in religion, and you're trying to structure it around that, a lot of religion talks about evil in the world.
Mm-hmm.
And if you believe very strongly in evil and you feel like you are channeling evil while you're doing it, well, you know, law of attraction says that's what you're attracting now. You're now
yeah.
attracting evil into your life, and you're now making things more difficult for you than it needs to be.
Mm-hmm.
So with any healing technology, you need to understand what you're doing. Now, if you're a strong book reader and whatever, that's great. You can read the books and get a good idea of what you're doing. For most people, I recommend actually getting the training, you know, find a certified, teacher to do the training with and, you know, get a mentor of some kind or a life coach to help you through this stuff. Because, I mean, that's really what life coaches do, what spiritual coaches do. They give you tools that you can then do on your own to do the work.
Mm-hmm.
Now let's say, for example, that you've gotten some training, you get an idea of what you're doing. Now you need a buddy. The buddy system is really, really important in this process. Because again, if you're doing the work you can do the work by yourself, but when you start going into the different layers of the things that are, making you tick or the things you want to change, the blocks that you want to change, there's going to be a strong part of you that doesn't want to look at certain pieces.
Mm-hmm.
So you're going to be like, okay, you got the pendulum. You're like, okay, am I clear? Ego at zero. Great, great, great. Okay, I'm going to ask this question. And wait a second, now my answers aren't making any sense. All right. Where's my ego on right now? Wait a second. What's it doing way up there? Okay. Let's go down here again. And then you ask, am I blocked with this? And then you get a yes. It's like, okay, well, unblock me. Okay. You're unblocked. Okay. Ask a question. Now you're blocked again. And it's because there's a subconscious program running saying, I don't want to see that.
That's an interesting thing.
Yeah. You don't want to see it on a conscious level or a subconscious level. It doesn't really matter how many times you do the work. You know, you try to do the research. You're going to keep running into those blocks. And so there are a couple of tricks that you can do with a buddy.
Okay.
With a buddy, because I do this with Nina and it works like a charm, and she does the same thing for me too.
Okay.
What you do is you hand the pendulum to somebody else. Now, it doesn't really matter. I mean, it's good if they know how to use the pendulum. So, you know, give them a quick tutorial of how to use the pendulum.
Uh-huh.
They don't necessarily have to have all the training.
Okay.
Okay. You have the training. You know how to do the interpretation. But the problem is you're blocked with certain questions.
Mm-hmm.
So you hand the pendulum to them and say, okay, I am going to mentally project to you my question. Let me know if it's a yes or a no.
Wow.
And so you just have them concentrate on you and your question. And they ask, I self, please answer Bill's question.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And there it goes. And then because they have no ego, they have no stake in it, the answer is going to come through for them.
Mm-hmm.
And then you can write down the answer and there you go.
Now, I got a question for you.
Yes.
And watch, this ties in, I can tie this into a question that Siraj, one of our live stream listeners,
okay,
has asked. What if the question that you're really trying to resolve is not a yes or no question?
Okay. I was just going to go into that. Yes.
Like for instance, Siraj, now he was bringing up something that actually isn't directly related to SRT, but we invite our live stream listeners to talk about anything regarding law of attraction. So this is fine. Mm-hmm. He says, I have a query. What's the difference between daydreaming and visualization? Or are both the same in the law of attraction? So let's start with just answering the question directly. And then, Bill, let's talk about how would we go about directing that question through an SRT method using a pendulum.
Okay.
Okay?
All right.
So who wants to go first on that?
Well,
I got to think.
Oh, okay. Well, I'll give you my answer first, and then you guys can piggyback on it.
Okay.
So for me, in one sense, there's no difference.
Mm-hmm.
Daydreaming is focusing in a sort of non-direct way on stuff, right? You know, whatever comes to your mind is what comes to your mind. And as it comes in, you focus on it. It's kind of like what Abraham calls default, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like you're default attracting because you're just going with whatever flow is coming in, which is fine. There's nothing wrong with default. The reason that we often talk about learning to be a deliberate creator or a conscious creator is so that we can direct that consciously to where we want it to go. And by focusing on what it is that we want the most and staying there and getting excited about it and feeling it, that's how we consciously create what it is that we're trying to create. But literally, that kind of visualization is not any different from daydreaming. It's just we think of it as different. I think that it's different because in this case, I'm consciously creating, and in that case, I'm just going with the flow. But it's really the same process. It's just focusing on what we like and getting, you know, excited about it, or maybe getting upset about it, depending on what it is, and building up the vibration until it finally comes into our lives. So the difference is really what you think the difference is between daydreaming and visualizing. If you think there is a difference in your mind, then you're right, there is one. If you don't think there's a difference, then you're right, there isn't one. And it's just how do you think about it? For me, it's about whether or not we're doing it deliberately.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, for me, it's a difference between active and passive visualization.
Okay.
Daydreaming is more passive. And when it's more passive, it has a tendency to wander off in unintended directions.
Mm-hmm.
And daydreaming can be focused on what you're afraid of. It can be focused on what, you know, it, because it has no focus, because it's kind of wandering out there. Whereas a visualization is more of an active exercise. You're going to, you are actually saying, okay, I am visualizing that which I want, and I'm going to not really, I'm not going to focus on what I don't want. Whereas daydreaming, your mind just goes wherever.
Mm-hmm.
Which is why the Abraham Hicks emotional scale is so important.
Oh yes.
Because depending on where you happen to be on that scale can determine where your daydreams are going.
Mm-hmm.
Mm.
Because if you're very low on the scale, your daydreams are going to be wandering towards the more negative. Whereas if it's on the high scale, it'll be wandering more to the more positive. A client I saw yesterday, who came to me for, business, to help with her business, we went to the Abraham Hicks emotional scale, and she was all the way at the top.
And, cool.
she's like, how can that possibly be? Because I am in an absolute panic and depressed over her business, because, you know, some stuff has been happening has been a challenge with her business. And I said, well, here's the thing. Your subconscious is at the highest level of the Abraham Hicks emotional scale, which means whatever you put your mind to with your business is likely to succeed.
Mm-hmm.
Because you are already the master manifester here as far as you did. And she's got a very successful business. So it's not like it's a, you know, she's really struggling to get clients and or customers or whatever with her business. That's not a struggle for her. What she struggles with is the legislative aspect of it. So, you know, the exterior environment.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, you don't have a whole lot of control over that. So what you do is you just have to bend with the breeze here. So the wind is going to be shifting. So when you're in a sailboat, and the wind shifts, and you still need to travel in one direction, what do you do? Do you, you know, hold your hands up and say, okay, I'll just go where the wind blows me, or do you adjust your sails? And what you do is you adjust your sails. So that way you are heading in the direction you really need, you want to be going, rather than going into a direction that somebody else thinks that you should be going.
And by the way, if you do that with a very happy feeling, and she's in a high vibrational place, so that's easy for her to do, you end up influencing what you call that legislative side. You end up influencing that stuff.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Exactly. And the other thing was, okay, all right, so the legislative environment is not favorable to you right now. It'll go back because that's the nature of government. The pendulum swings.
Well, exactly. It's the nature of a pendulum. I'm just going to say.
That's right. Politics is like a pendulum. It goes one way, it goes the other way.
We haven't left a whole lot of meat on the bone, Alex, but is there anything you wanted to add into what Bill and I were saying?
Well, I totally agree with both of you. And I was going to say it's kind of like the comparison for me personally, the comparison between sleeping and meditating.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean? So if like sleeping, you're like attempting to fall asleep in most people's cases and, right. you know, get some good rest.
Whereas asterisk.
Yeah, exactly. So, but whereas meditating is like you're attempting to accomplish some goals while you're relaxing. So yeah, that's what I need to compare it to like put it in layman's terms for me.
That's good. Yeah. Yeah, mm-hmm. And very real world. I like that. Mm-hmm. So, okay, let's take that question we just answered. How would we go about answering a question like that if we're by ourselves working with a pendulum trying to use SRT, Bill? How would we go about that? Because, well, I mean, it seems like it's all yes and no answers. So how do you do this?
Well, it's not all yes. Well, it depends if you got charts in front of you. Sure. And if you don't have charts in front of you, or you can always make your own charts. mm-hmm. You know, I always recommend going with a set of charts, an excellent set of charts if you don't want to go the SRT route, because granted, SRT is talking about soul records. It's talking about some really deep, pre-birth stuff that goes on. And so it requires a fair amount of knowledge and understanding of, and belief in multiple lives, there's multiple universes and whatever. So you got to really, there's a lot to take in.
Yep.
You want to go for a system that is a little more straightforward and more earthbound.
I gotta excuse myself, guys. I'll be right back.
All right.
If you want something that's a little more earthbound, I recommend Dale Olson's book, which is The Pendulum Charts, Volume 1. And actually, he's got several books of pendulum charts. And these guys are... I don't see, you can see there, they've got various charts, various fan charts, and there's a lot of them that concentrate on health and disease and things you can do to change your life and there's even ones in here about how to adjust your meds. So
that's a handy chart too, because it's got the special binding that makes it easy to fold the chart back, so you can just lay a chart flat on the table.
It's beautiful. Well, yeah. for my SRT charts, I use a three ring binder.
Yeah, there you go. Right,
and that helps me, you know, do that.
Right.
But if you're using, so if you buy the Spirit Path book, Robert Detzler's Spirit Path book, there are a set of charts in that one. And also, in Soul Recreation, there's also some more charts in there. Now, those charts are very dated. Those charts were ones that he came up with in the early 80s and in the 90s. So the charts have changed since then. But if that's where you're going, if that's where you want to be, if you don't want to actually get through the training and whatever, you can always make photocopies of those and put them in a binder so that they're easy to use. But
right.
If you want to go the simple route, you know, something a little more earthbound and something easier to understand, I recommend the Dale Olson charts, because then you use the charts accordingly. But again, you're still going to run into problems working by yourself, with stuff that you don't want to face.
Mm.
So again, the buddy system works.
And that seems kind of contradictory, I would say. I mean, it seems like, well, of course I want to face this stuff. That's why I'm doing this SRT work in the first place. How can you possibly say I don't want to face this stuff?
Because, we like to think of ourselves as the hero of our own story. And the hero may have some flaws, but they're, by and large, good people, you know, because, you know, you're the hero.
Right.
And when you dive into this deep soul stuff, especially when you're going into past life stuff and whatever, you're going to find that you were not such a nice person. Maybe.
You're making this so enticing, Bill, I have to tell you.
Maybe you were the anti-hero in a previous life. To the point where you just, and the thing is, those actions and those things that happened in the previous life influence your current life, because they have created circumstances where you have to satisfy some, you know, balance some karma. You have to deal with various experiences that you have to experience in life. And there are, there's parts of you that, nope, I ain't going there because I refuse to acknowledge that I was the bad guy at any point in my story.
Mm-hmm. So nobody really wants to volunteer to have been, say, Alexander the Great slaughtering thousands and thousands of people on the battlefield.
Right, right. Mm-hmm. And, I mean, soul retrieval is good for that in shamanic work, but if you're doing just this work here, yeah, it's going to come up.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's when you hand the pendulum to a buddy. And again, you're doing all the prep to work. You're making sure that everyone's clear and everybody's channeling correctly and communicating with high self and not communicating from ego. And then have somebody else run the charts for you.
Now, also, I got another question here. What if you are one of those people who was originally somebody like Alexander the Great, and you actually like the fact that you were like that person?
That's something, and that's something else too. Because then now you have to face the demon, the inner demon, that you were a person who enjoyed hurting other people.
Mm.
And so that's something else you got to deal with. Because again, when you are the hero of your story, you don't want to think of yourself as doing bad things to other people.
And yet, that's what, I mean, Greek drama is all about the heroes doing bad things to other people. I mean, that's
right.
What the heroes did.
I mean, for example, with myself, I found that in previous lifetimes, I was a very bad person who took great pleasure in killing people and you know, killing innocents, because my belief in those previous lifetimes was that I was doing God's work by ridding the world of certain undesirable people in the world, because I viewed them as being not human beings. I viewed them as being, you know, subhuman. Therefore, it was perfectly okay to do that.
I love the phrase, by the way. They're undesirable, and therefore you're doing God's work. I love
right.
that.
But you know, but you look throughout history of all the horrible tragedies that's ever had, the genocides and whatever, and by and large, and you wonder how can human beings do this to other human beings? And the simple answer is, well, they just didn't view them as being human beings.
Or if they did view them as human beings, they viewed them as somebody who was subhuman.
Right, right. They were somehow superior to them.
Yeah. So, there's like this racial thing with humanity, where humanity feels like we're better than everybody else.
Right.
Hold on a second here. Wait, but there's something wrong with this formula.
Right. And it's the basis of persecution and religious intolerance and racial intolerance and whatever. It is the basis of all of that. Mm. And it's still something we struggle with as humanity.
Oh yeah.
And since we've been around for many, many lifetimes, we have all been guilty of being on the wrong side of that argument, or at least on the non-love, non-attraction side of that argument.
Well, no, it's perfectly good at attracting. It's just not what you want necessarily.
Right.
Right. And if you don't really see yourself as being that kind of person, it can be very difficult, very challenging to do that internal work to clear the karma associated with that, with those, or the clear those soul programs associated with those other lifetimes, because you may, in this lifetime, you still may be struggling with a lot of those previously held beliefs in other lifetimes. Because there are people who grow up in perfectly normal families who turn out to be, you know, raging racists or whatever, and the families are like, that's not how we raised you or whatever. Where the heck did that come from? It could be a leftover from a previous lifetime, or a leftover, more to the point, a leftover from multiple lifetimes. when this past weekend we were doing some more work with me, and I'm doing this this part-time gig, doing accounting work for a nonprofit, and I was really struggling. I mean, I'm doing bank recs, and I hate doing bank recs. You know, reconciliations between bank statements and general ledger is the most tedious work in the world. I don't recommend it for anybody. And accountants, I think by and large, don't like doing this work.
Mm-hmm.
And I was wondering what is it in my karma that makes me hate doing this work so much? And so we did some research, and it came up, just weird. It was like, no, this isn't right. So I handed the pendulum over to Nina, and I said, here are the charts. Here it is. Just do it. Just run me some charts. And she ran the chart. She's like, I have no idea what any of this means. And it's like, that's okay. You didn't have the training. It's all right. Just find, it's very easy. You go to chart number one. It tells you which chart to go to. Then you go to the chart, and then you write down whatever it is that comes up. And so she did it, just like, okay, this makes no sense to me. And she hands it to me, and I'm like, well, it makes perfect sense to me. And it turns out that in many, many lifetimes, we're talking hundreds of lifetimes,
mm-hmm.
I have been trying to save the world through accounting.
I love it.
Oh my God. Oh my God.
Trying to find the truth, trying to help humanity through accounting, and you look at it and you think about it, that is absolutely ridiculous.
but that's the kind of thing that we get hooked on. I mean, we come up with the craziest stuff. So in that sense, it makes sense.
Yeah, but when you look at a lot of people in the accounting field, and you get down to what it is, why they love it so much, the motivation could be that they feel as though that their mission in life is to make the world a better place by balancing the books and making it all transparent and making sure that everyone is being ethical and whatever within the organizations. No one's stealing money. Everything's being done right. And the books are pristine.
Well, actually, I mean, I could see where it would make sense.
Right.
And Alex is probably going to laugh at me for this. But if you look at the word accounting and you look at the word accountable, they have the same root.
Right.
So accounting becomes a way of holding people accountable.
Right.
Well,
right.
I see it as, being a way for them to keep the balances.
Right.
Yeah. So I totally get it.
And so once I discovered that, I mean, even in the non-physical form, mm. I was trying to use accounting to visit the world.
You were a scorekeeper.
Imagine that. You're just walking around with your abacus,
Instead of a liar, I had an abacus.
Yeah, right.
I got things to do.
That's really sad. Okay, so let's take Siraj's example, for instance, okay? Mm-hmm. So you just described some of the pitfalls, but let's just do like a little walkthrough here. Like if Siraj's question was unanswered and he was doing this himself, how could Siraj go through the charts and figure out what the answer was to his question?
Well, doesn't he need the training for that?
We'll presume some level of training.
Okay.
We assume he has some level of training. What he would do is he would first ask the question to high self, the yes-no question, is there a difference between my daydreaming and my visualization?
Okay.
And the answer is not necessarily going to be a yes or a no. It depends on what that person's belief is about the difference.
Uh-huh.
Okay. Now, if the answer for him comes back, yes, there is a difference, then he's going to ask the follow-up question of, what is the difference? And then he goes to chart one and he says, okay, spirit, show me the chart that is going to tell me the difference. And so it goes to the chart, you go to the chart, you write it down and whatever. And again, this is where the training comes in, where you have to understand especially the SRT charts, because the answers to a lot of those charts are very esoteric. And at the time they were even written, even Robert didn't fully understand them. Mm-hmm. The understanding didn't come until years later, which is why it's in the training material and not in the book. Mm-hmm. Because the book was written, you know, several years before, and then the insight came several years later after he's had a lot of experience working with it.
Mm-hmm.
Because a lot of times what spirit for him when he was writing this stuff down was it gave him a phrase, and then he would ask spirit, okay, can you explain this a little further to me? And the answer came back, not yet.
Ask again later.
And the thing is, it was what spirit was waiting for him to do was to do more work with it and to do
right.
more clearing work with it. And then the insight would come because there was blocks within himself to understanding what spirit was trying to say.
Mm-hmm.
And that's going to happen when people are working by themselves by and large, or even working with clients sometimes. Things are going to come up that are not going to make any sense, but spirit is going to assure you that that is right. And this is so what Robert would tell people is, okay, just clear that then. Just clear. Don't try and dive into it any further. If spirit's saying there's something not to understand here, because there are things, especially that happened in the non-physical, that you are not going to understand. Because our squishy brains cannot comprehend that, because we're in a different plane of existence. We're in a physical plane of existence. There is stuff that happens over there that would, if we were to see it, would completely make our minds explode and turn into this giant, you know, supernova of light. You don't need to understand that stuff. You just need to clear it.
Mm-hmm.
Sounds like a sci-fi movie.
Yeah, right. Yeah, and actually, 2001: A Space Odyssey is a really good movie for that too.
Uh-huh. So that would be a good thing, because that would be the first time that movie ever made sense to me. So good to hear. Yeah.
I love that movie, because especially the final sequence.
Spoilers.
Sorry.
No, I'm just kidding. I don't care.
A 35-year-old movie. I think we're okay on spoilers.
The movie's been around for a long time. It came out in 68 or something like that?
Yeah, so it's more than 30. It's like 50 years old, yeah.
Right, I was going to say.
Yeah.
Yes, that is a whole, that whole final sequence where he's actually diving into his subconscious, and he's diving into existence, the whole secret of existence.
Mm-hmm.
He basically transforms into light energy at the end, which is really, really cool. I mean, that whole book series was, the book series and the movie series apparently was highly inspired by channeled energy, you know, mm-hmm. Channeled stuff, which is, you know, another reason why Stanley Kubrick who wrote the 2001? That was, Arthur C. Clarke. Was it Arthur C. Clarke who wrote that?
Kubrick directed it, but who wrote it? I think Clarke did write it. I think you're right.
To their dying day, there were things about that story and about that movie that they took to the grave with them. You know, that were things that they did with that, because there were, a lot of people theorize that they received a lot of channeled information when creating that movie. And there are actually a lot of sci-fi movies out there that dive into that, but I digress.
Well, that was also a movie that traumatized an entire generation, so that when PCs came along, nobody wanted to touch them. Because they didn't want the PC saying, "I wouldn't do that, Dave."
I'm sorry, Dave. I'm afraid I can't do that. Yeah. Actually, if you go to your iPhone and you tell Siri, you know, open the pod bay doors, Hal, and
wow,
Siri will say something quippy, in return.
Egg in there. Cool.
That's why I don't mess with them fruit phones. Nope.
An entire audience of phone users has just been insulted.
That's why Androids are my people.
Well, there's a whole thing we could do about Androids, but we don't have enough time for that.
So. No, we don't.
So if you don't want to dive into that pool because you haven't had the training or whatever, again, I highly recommend going to the Dale Olson charts instead. And, because it's a little more down to earth. I mean, we can do a quick example real quick.
Sure.
Using the Dale Olson charts. Why don't we do that?
Okay.
So to answer Siraj's question, first of all, we ask the difference for Siraj. So we first connect to Siraj. All right. So we're connected to Siraj and we'll ask the question, okay, first of all, is there a difference between visualization and daydreaming for Siraj? And I'm getting a yes. And can we find it on the Dale Olson charts? I'm also getting a yes.
Okay.
So, all right, let's ask the question. All right. Oh, come on. You got to give me something better than that. It came into the...
What happens when the pendulum went to none.
And it's like, come on. You said he was going to be on the Dale Olson charts. Show me on the Dale Olson charts.
This goes back to what you originally talked about. What happens when the pendulum doesn't cooperate and gives you nonsense?
Yeah, well, it's like, okay, well, then it doesn't want to give me an answer. And so I'm going to clear it again and we'll see if it comes up with a different answer. Because maybe I'm not clear or maybe Siraj isn't clear because I've connected to Siraj. And maybe Siraj doesn't really, yes, we've identified there's a difference. Yes, we've identified that, we can find it on the Dale Olson charts. And it's like, okay, where on the Dale Olson charts? Oh no, I'm not telling. No.
So this is like another argument for working with somebody else to help work through stuff like this.
Like, no, that's a little too personal. I'm not going to talk about that.
Okay. Yeah.
Well, let's ask.
Now, I don't know what I missed, but how are you connected to Siraj if you haven't done the prep work?
I have connected to him because he asked a question.
Uh-huh.
And
by the way, he just put up a couple of smiley faces, so he's liking this.
Okay. He's asked a question, and I'm not diving too deep into him. I'm not doing clearing work for him. We're simply answering.
Okay.
Yeah, you don't want to intrude on who he is because we don't have permission for that.
Yeah. Okay.
So it went to the condition chart, which is chart 29 in here, and it went to mental body. So, what that's saying is the difference for him between daydreaming and visualization is the attitude. How he visualizes it in his mind.
Okay. Which is what we were saying.
Which is what we were talking about.
Yeah.
Why he thought that was too personal. Maybe for that moment, he was like, oh, wait a second. I didn't want to. And so block went up. You know, shields went up.
Right.
Or no, maybe no, he no. could.
It's cool. We're not going to get too personal here.
Maybe they thought we could see the actual daydream, and that was the personal part.
Yeah, we want to avoid that. We're not doing that because, you know.
That's an intrusion.
You can keep your daydreams.
And it's your personal business.
That is your thing.
That's right.
So, yes. Yeah, so, again, it answered the question. The question really comes down to what his mental state is on that will determine the difference between his daydreams and his visualizations.
And that was pretty quick. I mean, you asked like four or five questions in the space of about a minute and you were done.
Mm-hmm. Right. Right. And it was a relatively simple question.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Now,
apparently it wasn't simple when Siraj originally asked it because he was confused about it. So, you know, it was important to him, even though it was simple.
Right. So, you know, So that, you know, that's how you would use the chart here, the Dale Olson charts anyway, to answer a simple question like that. I mean, can we come up with another simple question that you would ask yourself?
You mean a hypothetical?
Yeah, hypothetical.
Okay. All right. Do I have any influence over the weather?
Do I have any influence over the weather? So am I asking this for you, Walt?
Sure.
Okay. So we'll connect to Walt. And are we connected? Yes, we're connected. So does Walt have any influence over the weather? And we're going to say right now you do not.
See, because you're not on my level, because I've been controlling the weather all winter, and we hadn't had snow, and it was great.
So at the moment, right this second, influencing the weather.
Okay, because I have had plenty of influence in the past. I've been able to do all kinds of.
We're just talking about right now.
Right.
Right.
Has Walt had influence on the weather in the past? Mm. And the answer comes back yes. Yes, he has had an influence on the weather in the past.
Okay.
Now, do we want to dive deeper into that
Well, let me ask a follow-up question. And this is probably one you can answer without using the pendulum, but let's use the pendulum for the fun of it, okay? Why is it that sometimes I can influence the weather and other times, like right now, I can't?
Ah, okay. Can we answer that question on the Dale Olson charts? We can answer that on the Dale Olson charts. Show me.
Okay.
Show me.
It's probably because you're concentrating on the podcast. You can't focus on the weather right now. I am the Dale Olson chart, okay?
So,
boom.
It took me to what he calls the personal motivator chart.
Oh.
And it went to empowerment.
Empowerment.
And is there another one on this one? Yes. Show me. Creation and new expressions. So those moments when you're influencing the weather says that you're not necessarily doing it to stop anything in particular, or, you know, you don't want to, your motivation is to influence the weather is just to see if you can.
This is true. Yeah. That's exactly true.
Yeah.
See if you can. So it's not like, okay, there's this ginormous hurricane here coming. I want to stop it from coming.
Which I've done.
Which you've done, but it's not like a primary motivator.
The first time wasn't even close, because I had no idea that I could actually do it. I just simply put out a wish, like, well, it was more of a determination, because my wife and I were going to a lake in Virginia where my parents used to live that mm-hmm. we used to go to for vacation. And there was a hurricane coming in off the coast from the Carolinas, and it was mm-hmm. headed right toward where we were going. And I just kind of became determined at the moment and said, no, that's not going to influence our vacation at all. We're going to have beautiful sunny weather throughout the vacation. I have no real reason to say that. That's just what I want. I don't want to ruin my vacation. I want to have good sunny weather. And that's exactly what we got. Now, the Carolinas got drenched. Right? The hurricane just kind of hovered there. And then when we were done driving north, it followed us up the coast.
Yeah.
It was only like 10 years later that Louise pointed out to me, hey, you influenced that hurricane. I said, I guess I did. How did I do that?
It's very possible. And then, but on all the other occasions that you have tried to influence the weather, it hasn't been to do anything more than just, hey, wouldn't it be neat if I could?
Mostly, yeah. I mean, I can think of a couple of occasions where I've wanted to influence the weather for the benefit of Louise's gardening business.
Okay.
And successfully.
Right, right. But it wasn't like there was a big personal stake in it. It wasn't like
not directly, no.
Like, you know, if a hailstorm was coming and it was going to like ruin people's gardens and whatever, you're like, okay.
Well, there was one. Now that I think about it, yeah, when we were in Virginia, we lived in Northern Virginia, and I remember one day, I don't remember why, but I was looking at the AccuWeather.com website, and you know how they have the radar up there, and all I know what it was is because we'd heard there were tornadoes throughout the Midwest, right?
Oh, geez.
Sometimes tornadoes come up through Virginia, so I wanted to see, is there anything coming along?
Mm-hmm.
And I saw this really, really nasty-looking thing coming on the radar map, and I zoomed in and found it was going directly at our house. Not just at our town, right on path to our house. And so I turned to Louise and I said, okay, we got to do our magic here. Let's start visualizing blue skies and puffy white clouds and, you know, really lovely, delicious weather. And so we did that for a few minutes. And the storm at the time we did this was about 5 minutes away. It was really close. So we did that for a few minutes. And then, like you said, Bill, I was just curious to see if it worked. So I did what you probably should not do. I went outside.
Oh, God.
And I'm looking around outside, and I can see the storm clouds coming overhead, and they're parting, creating a circle over our house.
Right.
They're going around us.
Mm-hmm.
And when we were done, after the next day, we went out to kind of survey the neighborhood, and within like, five or six houses in all directions, it was clean, clear, pristine. And beyond that, it was like a bomb had hit.
Right. And do you remember what your emotional state was at the time you were telling that you were influencing the weather? I mean, were you?
It was a good emotional state. I was in a good place.
You were in a good place, right.
Yeah.
If you had been fearful.
Oh, that would not have worked.
It would have worked.
I probably would have destroyed the house.
Right.
Oh, my God.
Alrighty.
Now, I put that out there with kind of a grain of salt thing, because Joel has informed me that many of the listeners who listen to him and me do the podcast are actually freaked out about the idea of influencing the weather.
Okay.
But I figure that Tuesdays they don't listen quite as often as they listen on Thursdays. So but if I am freaking anybody out, I apologize. My purpose is not to freak you out. My purpose is just to provide this little, you know, exchange with the ESRT charts.
Well, and again, it's also comes down to your attitude. If you believe that this is possible, then it's possible. If you don't believe it's possible, then it probably isn't.
That's true.
Yeah.
Yes, that is. It's not even probable. It's definite.
You create your own reality. If your reality is that nobody can influence the weather, then nobody can influence the weather.
You
created that reality, and it's fine. You know, we're not going to, no one's judging you.
Nope. Nope. Not at all.
Nope.
So, okay, what else can we do to explain how this SRT works and how we end
up with mine? I don't know. I think our hour's up.
Well, then I guess we can't spend any more time doing that.
Yeah.
You just took all the fun out of it, Bill.
Father Time over here is not paying attention.
I mean, come on. This is good stuff. All right. Well, I guess I'll have to leave it at that. But hey, this has been great. Thank you so much for doing this. I'm not sure there's a lot you can study with this stuff, isn't there, Bill?
Lots. Volumes and volumes of stuff you can study. You can order the What you've done with the Robert Detzler books. I mean, there are more books that he's done. There's not just, the SRT books, but there's also stuff on spiritual healing that we can do a whole show on the spiritual healing book that he wrote.
That's cool.
There's Dale Olson, and there's also a number of other, of writers out there on the, spiritualresponse.com website. There's a link in there for recommended books, and hopefully my books will end up there.
But, there you go.
But there are other books in there. Dowsers in general are generally very spiritual people, and I'm so looking forward to speaking at their national convention next month. Because you know a lot of very cool dowsing people are going to be there. And so that's going to be a lot of fun. Plymouth State University in New Hampshire. They're just, you look up dowsing or looking up, spiritual response therapy or just, you work with a pendulum and whatever, and you'll get volumes and volumes of stuff you can go through. And what I recommend for anybody who wants to dive into this is get a pendulum, connect to high self. And if you've got like three books you want to read and you don't know which one to read, just ask high self, which one should I read? And if it comes up none, well, then pick another three books to read.
Yeah, there you go. That's good. All right.
Because, you know, you allow your high self to guide you to whatever it is you need to read next. And if it isn't my book, I won't be offended.
That's okay. A lie.
Because what you need to do is what you need to do.
I was going to say he won't admit to being offended.
No. Right. That's better. That's better.
Which is a very good thing. Well, thank you guys. This has been very, very educational, very interesting. And I'm hopeful that some of our listeners will actually pick up a pendulum and maybe even join us on a live stream that they now know how to reach because they know how to find us through the description or through the various social media channels. So thank you to our live stream listeners. Thank you to our podcast listeners. Without you guys, we wouldn't have anything. And thank you guys. Alex, I'll be talking to you on Thursday.
Thursday it is.
And Bill, I'll be talking to you next week, so looking forward to that. And we will see you all next time here on LOA Today. Goodbye, everybody.